Divine providence. Have you ever thought about how it's working with you? In a simple way, means God is with you and working with you, helping you, guiding you, protecting you, inspiring. What it doesn't mean is that God is guaranteeing for you to have all that you want. Most likely, God might provide what you need. It's a difference between what you want and what you need. Now, looking back your life, you know, this is the last service in this year, so we kind of need to think about year 2008 is ending. 18, it's true. Yes, I wanted to go back 10 years. So. Becoming 50, near 50 is not fun. Getting 40 was actually much more fun. What happened this year? Do you like it? Maybe, maybe not. Every year we have things that we like. And every year we have things that we regret. And every year we have things that we wish we have never done. And then we have things that we are proud to do. Life is mixed of all those different things. And at the end of the year, that's what I usually do. So this year I became 48. What was it when I was 38? What was it when I was 28, 18, and 8 years? When I was 8, some of you have heard my stories about my mom just getting me to my grandparents, city boy living in an urban small village, abandoned, feeling all that. At 8, I got rid of all that or overcame that. And some little voice told me that, you know what, forget about all that. And just focus on what you have here and just have fun with it. So at 8, I was having fun with the nature. Like every day when I'm not going to school, I'll disappear into the forest. And I'll eat in the forest the roots and fruits for my lunch. And sip on the water. You could still drink water in the mountain back in the days, right? You remember those days? Yes. So I'll drink that and just play chasing after squirrels or rabbits or birds and talking to trees and rocks. And that kind of gave me the root to becoming a Taoist. And I'm a Taoist. If that didn't happen, my deep connection to nature didn't happen. But then when I was 18, I was lost again. I failed my college entrance exam because I got really sick when I was a senior in high school. And life was totally uncertain. There was no money to continue college. I didn't know what was going to happen. Mind was full of anxiety and uncertainty and confusion. That was my 18. And then 28... I was in seminary, and I have gained a small enlightenment about how to take in all my hard feelings and my angers and my disappointment in life, and how to understand them. I had at least a glimpse of vision that which path might be worth working, walking on. I was 28. 38, I was married, I was homeowner, and I was a father of one son, and yet I was in another very confused and changing situation, because at 38, I believe I just told the church I served 8 years that I'm not renewing the contract. So that was my last year to be, and had no idea where I'll be next year or what's going to happen to our family yet. and 48, I'm here. And things seem to be certain and settled. What I'm trying to say is somehow, in my life too, probably yours is too, we go through stages of very confused, uncertain, and then next, we are in a very nice, nice place where things are quite going well and stable and comfortable, and then it goes wobbly again. Divine providence, according to Swedenborg, works on for only one purpose and one purpose only. And it's not about giving what we want. It is not about providing us clothing and better cars or housing or getting a better jobs even. It only concerns about making us a better human being. A better human being. And whatever happens in our life, many times, if we look back, we see many things that we learn from that. And in my case, I learned a lot more from those chaotic, struggling, and challenging moments and experiences than when I felt things are going well and comfortable. Maybe it's a human nature or it is just me, but I found myself becoming a little more arrogant and rude and forgetting about God when things are going well. And when things are going tough and rough and hard, I found myself praying to God more. The interesting thing is, you know, God's standing right there, exactly at the same place from the beginning. Never moves. But sometimes I claim that God's far away from me, and sometimes I praise God that you are so with me. So I move a lot. And somehow God is like right there. So that's the reason that I chose this Jeremiah. I love this actually. When I read it, I was 13 and I thought, I'll become an angel next year. Because that's what God says in a way, that I will put my law within them and I'll write it on their hearts. Wow. The God's law will be in my heart. What does that mean? I will be living, acting out just the way that God wants me to do. That would be great and wonderful. I just did not understood at the time the meaning in between. And also, what comes after is that, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If you read it really, really correctly, until the law of God is in our heart, God is not our God. And you are not God's people. That's a little scary, isn't it? And if you read today's New Testament, Jesus is pretty sure that if you don't drink the blood and his blood and eat his flesh, you got nothing to do with him. This is part that a guy, me, who has a Taoistic background, I'm a Buddhist too. I rejected Christianity fully when I was 18 and came back to it again, is that there is this message in this book called the Bible that makes me to think about much deeply about this God. This God really wants one thing from us. To be a better human than today. Or in a much nicer way of saying, have more love in your heart. Because that's what God is. And love, again, is not about wanting people to be the way I like them to be. Wanting people to go and come the way and time that I like them to, in a way of saying, trying to control them. Love means understanding them, where they are, who they are, and trying to make them happy the way they want it. That's very hard. And divine providence is trying its best to do that. And if you look back your life, you may see glimpses of God's hands kind of around you, gently tapping you, kind of gently pushing you, pulling you. At least that's what I see. So 2018 is almost over. You know, what's done is done. You can't go back and change it. What's undone is undone. You can't go back and change that either. Doesn't mean that what happened, we just put it into the closet and forget about it. Influences of what you have done and what you have not done is with you right now. So, my advice is you process them. In meditation, the best thing about not to have any thoughts, reaching into the state of not having any thoughts, is not pushing all the thoughts away or just kind of like squeezing into a small little thing and ignore them. No, it's about processing every single one of them without attachment, without being influenced by it. You simply process them. So, yes. And hopefully, in 2019, you may have become a little better person than today. And that shall be your blessing. So may God bless you all in this process and becoming a better person. And Leah,
I see you. I just have a simple question. The last verse of the Jeremiah, could you explain that a little bit? Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below can be explored, then I will reject all the offspring of Israel because of all they have done.
So, in modern context, we could say we measured them. But in the ancient context, if we put it in the modern context, I can say it this way. All the universe above can be measured. And all the stars in the universe can be counted.
Seems arrogant.
No, but it's in a way of saying that it will never happen. That's, again, ancient poetic way of saying that, saying something that is impossible. Therefore, it is impossible for God to reject them. That's kind of negative of negative is positive.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
Kind of ancient way of saying. Thank you for asking. Well, actually, if you have any questions, you can ask too.
That's just stuck out.
Yes. Bless you all. Okay?